WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond. I'm Lightning's Girl. This is Cause and Effect. Each week I pick one artist and trace their musical roots for 2 hours. If they've been around long enough, we'll also get into the bands that have been influenced by them, their followers, if you will. Tonight's show is extra special because it's part two. So if you missed last week, oh well, you're just going to have to try to catch up. Actually, that's not true. You can check out last week's show. I have it available as a download on WRIR.org if you go to the Cause and Effect little box for the show, and it will list last week's set list so you can see what I played, and then it will also have a download available there. And I'd like to say welcome back, Carson. So nice to have you in the studio as my most amazing assistant ever. And I guess I should probably say who the band is, huh? It's My Bloody Valentine. They are technically from Dublin, Ireland, though they've moved around a lot since. And since they're not really an active band in the traditional sense, the members are sort of spread out through the UK and travel quite a bit. But last week's show, we basically followed them from 83 until the late 80s. And tonight we'll pick up from the late 80s on, and we're going to talk about Isn't Anything, their extra special, super fancy, well-loved record, Loveless. I swear I'll be more articulate about Loveless as the show progresses. last week's show talked about their early influences, which were the sort of goth and garage, Cramps, Birthday Party kind of world. And we talked about some of their techniques that helped to shape the sound that they've become so famous for. The whole shoegaze thing, if you will. Ironically, what is now associated with shoegaze, which is all based really off of guitar pedals rather than the playing technique and the kind of tunings that they use. There's definitely a difference between the shoegaze that My Bloody Valentine makes and the shoegaze that others make, which are all more pedal-based. So last week's show talked a lot more about that. We finished off last week's show with a lot of the remixes that Kevin Shields, under either his own name or My Bloody Valentine, had done. But tonight I'm going to walk through a little bit about some of the setup for Loveless and what was happening during Isn't Anything. Behind me right now is the experimental audio research record Beyond the Pale. It's a Sonic Boom from Spaceman 3 Project, and Kevin Shields happens to play on this. It was released in 1996, and that's a sort of drone-y action going on behind me. I'm going to go into the Beach Boys first. I just wasn't made for these times, and I picked the Beach Boys and the first couple of songs from tonight's set because these records are classics, sort of timeless, highly influential in the way that Loveless was, but they were also recorded in mono. And what people don't know about Loveless, and part of the technique for making the record, a great deal of it was recorded in mono. It has to do with how you want the frequencies to be controlled, but we'll get a little bit more into that as we start entering into the years that Loveless was produced. So without further ado, I'll fade out Ear, Experimental Audio Research, and head into the Beach Boys. Cause and Effect on WRIR.
Trying hard to find the people that I won't leave behind. They say I got brains, but they ain't doing me no good. I wish they could. Each time things start to happen again, I think I got something good going for myself, but what goes? Sometimes I feel very sad. Sometimes I feel very sad. Sometimes I feel very sad. I guess I just wasn't made for these times. mission to go change things around. No one wants to help me look for places where new things might be found.
Thank you. yourself, suspicion yourself, don't get caught. Suspicion yourself, suspicion yourself, let others out.
I'm not afraid to die.
WRAR would like to thank RVA Magazine for its underwriting support. RVA Magazine is a quarterly publication providing coverage of Richmond's art and music scene, offering editorials and opinions about events, people, and happenings. RVA Magazine is available at many local coffee houses, bookstores, and retailers throughout the city. You may find RVA Mag on Facebook, Twitter, and at rvamag.com. Thank you, RVA Magazine. If you're considering buying your first home, or even if it's just been a while since you bought your last one, Virginia Credit Union is offering a seminar that can help you get answers to your questions about the home buying process. This free seminar will be Wednesday, February 8th, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at VACU's Boulder's Office Park office, 7500 Boulder's View Drive. To register or get more information, you can visit vacu.org/learn/seminars. You are tuned in to Cause and Effect. I am Lightning's Girl, and tonight is part two of My Bloody Valentine. Last week was all about the earlier part of their release catalog, their early influences, how they're shaping their sound, and now we're sort of picking up where we left off into 1988. We just heard, well, behind me right now is Smashing Pumpkins' Gish, important for two reasons. One, sort of the circular system that is the follower and peer. Smashing Pumpkins are, especially Billy Corgan, are big fans of Kevin Shields' guitar playing style and sound. But Gish also came out the same year as Loveless in 1991. We heard No Age with Minor, and they are a follower to My Bloody Valentine. Kind of going out of order, but still, I wanted to sneak them in for this part of the set because it sort of fell musically and sonically better with Feed Me With Your Kiss, which was the track we heard before that with from My Bloody Valentine. That record is important for two reasons. Not only is it the lead track from an otherwise untitled EP that came out on Creation in 1988, but it was also on their debut album, Isn't Anything, which was released the same month. We heard R.E.M., Wolves Lower, and some people might be scratching their heads as to why I chose an R.E.M. song for My Bloody Valentine show. But Mike McConigal wrote a wonderful book about Loveless, and he talks about some of the recording processes that went into Loveless and Kevin Shields' approach to songwriting. And one of the really interesting things about how Kevin Shields, guitar player, vocalist of My Bloody Valentine, likes to treat vocals, and that's really to treat them more like an instrument. They're not narrative storytellers where lyrics and what they're saying is super important. They're sort of a wash with the rest of the song, so it's quite difficult to understand what any of the actual lyrics are to a My Bloody Valentine song. And so he gave a couple of examples of songs that you really, no matter how many times you listen to them, unless you looked at a lyric sheet, you would never really know what they're saying. And R.E.M., Wolves Lower, is a terrific example of that. We heard The Zombies with Changes off of Odyssey and Oracle. And The Beach Boys, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times. And I chose these two tracks because they're both recorded in mono, highly influential records within the recording music history, not just for the song styles and the kind of songs that were written, but also for the production values. And mono, as I was talking about earlier, offers more of a wall of sound frequency. So it's coming out from both channels equally rather than divided between a left and a right side. So this was something highly influential to Kevin Shields. And I love the fact that you have very different kinds of records, but recorded with the same premise of going for that sort of really warm, larger-than-life sound. And it's probably important to mention, too, that especially post-Loveless, Kevin Shields, I guess the best way to describe it is people look to him as sort of a recluse, obsessive genius type, much like Brian Wilson. So I guess the comparisons there could be placed, too. But as you'll see, he really hasn't been as hidden as people like to sort of describe him as. There's probably a couple years there that were a little dark after Loveless, but the whole band has really been rather prolific in their music post-Loveless. So we're going to go back into music. I'm going to stretch to forward the track a sec. All right. So we heard Smashing Pumpkins, as I mentioned before, with Daydream, and we heard a little bit of Sigur Rós with Talk off of Talk. a huge follower to My Bloody Valentine. So many important, well-respected modern-day superstar bands like Sigur Rós look up to My Bloody Valentine, again, for that sort of sonic wash that they helped to develop in the timeline of music. And next we're going to hear from Björk for a couple of reasons. This track is called Who Is It? And it is off of the record Medulla. And Kevin Shields looks up to Björk not only because she's a fearless songwriter and is willing to go places and arrangements and looking for inspirations and sort of unusual places, but this record, Medulla, is almost entirely made up of human vocals and a cappella arrangements. And again, using vocals like an instrument rather than just a lyric tool, very important to the My Bloody Valentine story. So without further ado, Björk with Who Is It?
Cold blood. I write about rock and roll for the Chicago Tribune.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis, the pop music critic at the Chicago Sun-Times. Together we host Sound Opinions, an hour of music news, reviews, interviews, live performances. Basically, the two of us sitting on the couch with you, covering the world of music.
We also rate new CDs on our patented scale. Buy it, burn it, trash it. It's Sound Opinions, the world's only rock and roll talk show.
WRIR-LP 97.3 FM, Richmond. This is Cause and Effect. I am Lightning's Girl. Tonight's show is all about My Bloody Valentine. Part 2, last week, we covered the earlier years for the band. This week, two more hours, kind of following the band's final two albums. We just heard, well, behind me right now is Yaesu, a song called Dead Eyes off of Silver. I could literally do probably an entire year of Cause and Effects just on the bands who have been influenced by My Bloody Valentine, especially the Loveless album. If not their recording technique, then just straight up ripping off their song style, how they do male-female vocals, how they bury their vocals, the sort of spirit and essence of noisy but with melody tied in, tension, almost a soft sexuality buried under lots of static. The sound is borrowed time and time again and will probably be happening for another 50 years depending on where music progresses. But Justin Broderick, who is in Yaesu, also in Godflesh, dabbled with drum machines and this sort of shoegazy sound, so it's still heavy, just same way of My Bloody Valentine being heavy, but also managing to throw in some veins of something really tender and beautiful as well. I could have played the band Nadia. There's so many bands within the sort of Yaesu spectrum that have clearly been influenced by the My Bloody Valentine sound, but there's just only so many hours, and already tonight I'm going to try to squeeze 3 hours of music into 2 hours. We heard A Place to Bury Strangers with It Is Nothing off of Exploding Head, another follower to My Bloody Valentine. Oliver Ackerman, who is in the band, also makes guitar pedals under the name Death by Audio. And so these really cool, noisy pedals are something that are certainly tied back into the way My Bloody Valentine sounds the way they do. Or pedals that sort of replicate that sound. Again, last week we talked about Kevin Shields' playing style and how His Fender has a tremolo bar, a whammy bar, and the way he plays his guitar and strumming it by using that is really what creates his special sound, well, one of many parts of his special sound. And they make pedals to recreate that, so you don't actually have to do all that work. So it's important to talk about the difference again from creating that guitar sound by hand versus sort of cheating and going the pedal route. We heard My Bloody Valentine with You Never Should off of Isn't Anything, released in mid-November of 1988 on Creation. This is after 3 years of releasing singles and long EPs, or mini LPs, if you will. Kind of hard to believe that the band started with an entirely different lineup, a different vocalist. Kevin Shields can clearly sing. He sounds fantastic on this song. Most of Isn't Anything was recorded in Wales in really just a very brief amount of time. It's hard to believe that it's kind of important to mention because it tricked. I think they just did it in 2 weeks' time, and it sort of gave Creation the idea that My Bloody Valentine was fast in the studio and could turn around a record. So they were really expecting Loveless to be done in just a couple of weeks or a month tops. And we all know that ended up taking more like 2 years' time. So Isn't Anything is kind of interesting to see how that set up the band for a lot of high expectations. The record was very well regarded within the press, so people really were expecting Loveless to be something tremendous. And probably, I don't think anybody could have really even guessed the direction they were going to take the band from the more noisy Sonic Youth, staticky, heavy but still melodic thing. We heard My Bloody Valentine and Public Enemy back to back, and I played little samples and snippets of each because the instrumental track that My Bloody Valentine did, which actually came as a 7-inch in the first pressing of Isn't Anything, samples Public Enemy. And what Kevin and the band was starting to do at this early phase is start messing around with taking samples and looping. And in technology, samplers were still kind of archaic and not quite where they are today with computers. But that idea of looping things and sampling really brings My Bloody Valentine away from the sort of normal rock band and places them more on a hip-hop or electronic world. So it was important to play some hip-hop within the set because, A, they sampled them, and, B, the way My Bloody Valentine was going to start creating Loveless was through a technique much more familiar to the hip-hop community. We heard Pop Will Eat Itself, and it's funny because I played them last week because they were part of the early sort of C86 sound, but they're a band that progressed into something where they use technology and samples to do more of not quite a hip-hop record, but it was clearly a pop rock band dabbling in industrial and hip-hop sensibilities. So they're an important peer because they went from the rock world and were dabbling in a technology that not as many bands were using, and it sounds, you know, sort of dated, but still super important to the sort of growing process of bands experimenting with samples without sounding like the Beastie Boys. And at the beginning of the set was Bjork, which I already talked about. So we're going to go back into some more music now. And this is going to be The Fleeting Joys with You Are the Darkness. They're a band from Sacramento, California. And as you will hear, clearly very, very inspired by My Bloody Valentine.
Sunshine in my mind. You are the darkness in my mind. I'm not afraid of the dark.
WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond. This is Cause and Effect. I'm Lightning's Girl. It is about 45 seconds until 8 o'clock on this lovely, extremely warm winter evening. Tonight's show is all about My Bloody Valentine. We just heard Tamarin with Mild Confusion. She's from New Zealand, or they are from New Zealand. I think now vocalist lives in San Francisco, I think. Clearly a follower to My Bloody Valentine. We heard the band of the evening, My Bloody Valentine, with Honey Power off of the Tremolo EP. February 1991 is the release on Creation Records. And Tremolo is the name of the effect that creates that sort of dreamy, bending, curved note sound. I talked a little bit about the whammy bar, the tremolo bar that's found in his guitar. And I believe the bar is located at the bridge. And so when you sort of wiggle it around, this is the most non-technical talk ever, it makes the notes change and bend and curve. And I think a really cool non-traditional way of looking at My Bloody Valentine too is the way he curves notes. People actually talk about that as being a feminine sound. And during the time period of the early 90s, where you have Nirvana doing the sort of ultimate angsty cock rock kind of thing, you have My Bloody Valentine doing a totally different, still noisy variant of that idea, but still also feminine. I read a great article, I'll try to link it on the website, about how the sort of feminine energy to My Bloody Valentine makes them the sort of opposite of what was going on in the early 90s. And I love the idea that you don't, when My Bloody Valentine is talked about, it's always about the shoegaze reference and not really about the girl power aspect. And Kevin Shields says that working with women is, and the female energy is really important and inspiring to him. So, what's up, ladies? We get a shout out from Kevin Shields. We heard Fleeting Joys at the beginning of that set with You Are the Darkness off of Occult Radiance. And that set goes out to Evan, who is streaming it from apparently somewhere far away. Thanks for listening, Evan. That's awesome. Ulrich Schnaus is behind me with A Letter from Home off of A Strangely Isolated Place. He's a German electronic artist. And I could probably do an entire half a season on just the electronic artists influenced by the more ambient soundscapey part of My Bloody Valentine. M83, Toral, I mean, there's so many artists that fall into that category. But, you know, M83 gets enough love. So I actually left them off of the show, and I thought it'd be kind of nice to throw in Ulrich Schnaus, because how often do I get to play that? So yet again, into more My Bloody Valentine, and I'm going to talk a whole lot more about the album Loveless, which we finally have made it to, which came out in 1991. So we're going to go into To Hear Knows When. We'll be right back. broadcast of WRIR is made possible in part by the Richmond Environmental Film Festival this weekend at Bird Theater. The Environmental Film Festival begins Saturday morning and concludes Sunday afternoon. Movie listings and ticket information are available at Chop Suey Books in Carytown, Video Fan on Strawberry Street, and on the web at rvaenvironmentalfilmfestival.com. Produced by James River Film Festival. Produced by the James River Film Society and the Sierra Club Falls of the James Group. Whew, I swear, I learned to read just yesterday. As part of its nationwide cost-cutting plan, the United States Postal Service is planning to close as many as 3,700 offices, among them the Saunders Station branch at 1625 West Broad Street in Richmond's Fan District. If you want to share your views on this planned closing, time is limited. You can get comment forms at the Saunders Station post office or call Cindy Wheeler at 804-775-6318. This is Cause and Effect. I'm Lightning's Girl, and tonight's show is all about My Bloody Valentine, part two of exploring the band's early influences up into where are they at now and what after some 20 plus years of almost, I guess, 30 years of making music, what these folks are doing now. We heard behind me right now is Japan Cakes with To Hear Knows When. They performed Loveless front to back and recorded it. They're an Athens, Georgia band, and obviously a slightly different take, but a little softer, really, really beautiful renditions of the album Loveless. And there are so many covers out there of different My Bloody Valentine songs, certainly off of Loveless, too. So it was really hard to pick just one, but that one goes out to JJ, who asked for this particular group's cover. We heard Pia Fraus with Dr. Optimism. They are an Estonian band and who have also covered My Bloody Valentine. I think they do Strawberry Wine. Clearly a My Bloody Valentine follower. A Sunny Day in Glasgow, Ghost in the Graveyard. That was off of their debut full length from 2007. We heard Over the Atlantic, Fine Gentlemen from New Zealand. The song is called France, and they actually have another song called Kevin Shields. Imagine that. Guitar with Houseful of Time. I'm so pleased I have a chance to play this song. It's off of the 2002 release on Moore Records. Sunkissed was the name of it. And of all of my, all of the My Bloody Valentine knockoff sounding, or I shouldn't say knockoff, inspired recordings, guitar in that particular song is one that gets stuck in my head over and over and over again. I'm just crazy about it. And at the beginning of the set was My Bloody Valentine with To Hear Knows When off of Loveless. It was recorded from 89 to 91, and because My Bloody Valentine had proven to be recording pretty quickly up until this point, Creation Records was really expecting them to churn out this record in a matter of weeks, and it didn't work out that way. They were putting them in low-budget studios all over London, and so the record was recorded in a ton of different places. It's hard to believe the record sounds as consistent as it does, because so many hands, so many producers and studio people were involved in helping make this record possible. And that's sort of how the story is spun. But then when you do some more homework about how this record was recorded, A, mostly in mono, B, almost all major keys, and C, even though the liner notes give credit to all of the members, Kevin Shields really played all of the instruments and liking them to sort of the hip-hop environment of recording loops and samples, the drummer was not in the healthiest point in his life, was having some health issues, and wasn't really strong enough to do the kind of recording that Kevin was requiring with really long days in the studio. And so Kevin ended up sampling his drum sound, which is why it sounds more like a drum machine on that whole record. And so many complaints when Loveless first came out was people were really expecting a rock record, something noisy, more along the lines of what the band had released up until that point. And what they got was a much more sort of rooted in dance record, and people were sort of surprised. So it's still dense and lush and has all the sonic layers, but there's really almost a more of an electronic dancey crossover, which at that time in 1991, records just didn't sound like this. It's hard to imagine a landscape that exists without a record like Loveless, because now it's so important to so many people and is considered like the Sgt. Peppers of our generation. But And in 1991, records just didn't sound that washy and dizzying and lush. And it was sort of an alien release. And so it's exciting now that it's so embraced, but it's almost hard to imagine now what it sounded like during that time period where nobody had really heard something quite like this before. So lots of really, really great stories about the making of Loveless, none of which are sort of romantic stories. It was actually a really difficult record for this band to birth. And now that I know that Kevin really played almost all the instruments and then he and Belinda did the vocals together, the way it was pieced together, it's really interesting. It's almost more like a mosaic than a traditional rock and roll band rocking into a studio, recording together, you know, doing a couple overdubs and then calling it a day. It was really pieced together much differently. And I think that's part of what makes that record really, really unique and special. So we're going to go back into more music. I know you don't want to hear me talking. So here's the offshoot part of the show. The members have all been in other projects, either before or after My Bloody Valentine. And first I'm going to play something that's actually quite rare. It's the bass player Debbie's band from 1982. So we're talking pre-My Bloody Valentine and a track called Fool's Paradise. Sorry, it was taken from cassette, so it takes a couple seconds for it to roll in.
Oh,
It's not a matter of discussion, but a way to survive. A way to get high. First we'll have a smoke, then we'll cruise the skies, the city that's under. Thank you.
is the spiritual sea of Turner. Heavy mist punctuated with cold, capricious light. He had not slept. He sought comfort in a cigarette. He took out his match case and it was beautiful. 22 karat gold, hammered, soft gold, and the cigarette case he had delighted in. It was a gift. He adored it, and they gave it to him. He wanted it, and they gave it to him as a gift. And now he didn't care.
You're tuned into WRAR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond. I'm Lightning's Girl. This is Cause and Effect. We have a little shy of 25 minutes left on the My Bloody Valentine show. Behind me is a spectacular song slash spoken word piece between Patti Smith and Kevin Shields. They performed and appeared together in 2005 at London's Meltdown Festival. And it's a tribute to Robert Mapplethorpe. And so Kevin is doing the sort of landscapey, soundscapey guitar bits behind her. Really, really gorgeous work. And of course, it's Patti Smith on top of it. Patti Smith has been known to say that My Bloody Valentine was her favorite group of the last 15 years. So important to throw her performance piece with Kevin in on tonight's set list. So this is the Choral Sea Performance 1, Part 5. We heard Primal Scream with Accelerator off of Exterminator from 2000. The record features Kevin Shields, that particular track. He helped mix the album, has toured with the group time and time again. So they're not only peers, but he ended up being a part of their family tree. And I guess we should sort of catch up to speed and what happened to My Bloody Valentine after the release of Loveless, and once it really became sort of a rage and everyone was had incredibly high hopes as to how this band was developed and what was going to happen next. They were given a great deal of money to record a major label release, and rumor had it that Kevin kept recording more and more material, something at least up to like 60 hours, mixing all sorts of his underground influences in things like drum and bass and jungle. So things, once again, kind of pushing the boundaries of what expectations of this band was to sound like. And within this time period, it sort of became stuff of legend. There were rumors that his home was covered in barbed wire, that there were sandbags tucked within his house, sort of like a barricade. He and his girlfriend, Belinda, who was the guitar player vocalist in My Bloody Valentine, were still together at this point and dating. And so they're sort of described almost like a Howard Hughes couple. They had like 10, 20 chinchillas roaming around the house. So it became just a round-the-clock process of recording together. And at this point, this is where the rest of the band members started to get frustrated because there wasn't any real headway being made with recording a proper new My Bloody Valentine record. So Colm, the drummer, ended up moving away from the group. Debbie left the group as well. Belinda eventually left him as a girlfriend and left My Bloody Valentine. And there was just Kevin recording more and more privately in his house, and none of which ever saw the light of day. So besides two covers, the Wire cover, and I believe it's a Louis Armstrong cover, that was it. We never heard from My Bloody Valentine again in a traditional sense until they started announcing these reunion tour dates just a couple of years ago and playing some festivals. So it's wild to think that it's really been 20 years since this group has offered us new material. There's been said that there's supposedly a box set in the works. That's never actually happened. During the reunion tour interviews, Kevin talked about a new album featuring all the members. We have yet to see that. So it's hard to say whether that's really going to happen or develop, but luckily they all have other projects going on, so there's still music coming out of most of the members of the band, which is kind of exciting. So let's see. We also heard Curve with Want More, Need Less, and Kevin Shields plays guitar on that record from 2002. We heard Snow Pony with A Way to Survive, the slow motion world of Snow Pony from 1988. And that band was No, it says 1988, but that can't be right. No, it's 1998, because they were formed in 96, and it's Catherine Gifford who actually spent some time in Stereolab. I think she did keyboards, and she was in Moonshake, and then Debbie, bass player of My Bloody Valentine. They were girlfriends and had this band together. So I love Snow Pony, and I'm so pleased I finally had an excuse to play them on air as well. And we heard the Bikini Mutants, Deb's first band pre-My Bloody Valentine, Fool's Paradise, off a cassette of all things. So now we are going to talk a little bit more about some of the side offshoot bands post-Loveless. And we can't say My Bloody Valentine is done because that's not official. But in the meantime, we have these other projects which we're about to hear from now. So here's Dinosaur Jr. with Never Bought It. Both Belinda and Kevin Shields play on this record, and it's off of Hand It Over.
paper keepsake of the spill that you made. Keep your eyes peeled on the bridge that you burn. Never lay your head in the furnace so cold. Pull a hand for the rest of your life. Cause you'll never be here twice. Cause your mama's here.
something that'll fit your ears just right? Then tune into Paul's Boutique. Choice cuts hand-selected by me, DJ Paul G. Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. here on WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio.
All right, just 5 minutes left of Cause and Effect, and then, as you just heard, Paul's Boutique is up next. He has a special guest, Dwayne, the mysterious Dwayne. Can't wait to see who that is and what they're going to play, so stay tuned. I'm sure it's going to be amazing, whoever this mystery guest Dwayne is. Behind me right now is Roller Skate Skinny with So Far Down, Up to Heaven. Important to throw this in because Jimmy Shields is in this band, and that is Kevin Shields' brother. You know, why not explore the family tree in full? Kevin's sister actually helped manage the band for a period of time, so the whole family was in on the rock and roll action. We heard Kevin Shields with City Girl off of the Lost in Translation soundtrack from 2003. I can't explain what a big deal this was to My Bloody Valentine fans who are desperately waiting for some sort of new material from the band because it never happened. So the closest thing we came to was the tracks from Lost in Translation, and City Girl being the closest thing to what you might sort of expect in a traditional pop song from Kevin Shields. We heard Le Valium Kerb with I Love the Living You. She is sort of a Kevin Shields muse, if you will. From what I understand, they're dating now, and Kevin has been involved with all of her releases, as well as Colm the drummer, and actually Hope Sandoval, who we heard from Mazzy Star earlier in the set, also took part with the Le Valium Kerb debut album. She's French-born, London-based. Her name is Charlotte Marionneau. And Kevin Shields is so inspired by her music that he's actually started a record label called Pickpocket with Charlotte. And surprise, surprise, the first release, a Le Valium Kerb EP. We heard Hope Sandoval and the Warm Inventions with For the Rest of Your Life off of Through the Devil Softly. Drummer from My Bloody Valentine, Colm, not only is the second member to Hope's band, but has also drummed on Vetiver's self-titled album. He was on the Film School album from 2007. So he is certainly playing music and still very active. And then Dinosaur Jr. Never Bought It. And I had really hoped to have a little bit more time to sneak in what I find the most interesting offshoot to the My Bloody Valentine legacy. And that is their influence in black metal, doom, drone music, heavy music over the last decade, especially the last 5 years, has been super influenced by My Bloody Valentine. So I want to at least play an example of what in the world that could possibly mean. So I'm going to play Alceste, who were a French post-black metal shoegaze band, and the track is called Le Secret. And I'll try to post a link to two other tracks I really wish I had the time to play. Super cool stuff, and definitely worth checking out. So have a great night. Paul's Boutique up next with special guest Dwayne.
Thank you. the best Indian clothing. Call Paul's Boutique at Jenny. So the number is 718-498-1043. That's Paul's Boutique, and they're in Brooklyn.